Right before the break, we introduced these algorithmic methodology to construct Lyapunov functions for systems to prove stability, whether the systems are uncertain or not, whether you're interested in local stability or not, whether they have non-polynomial terms. And now this is a very interesting class of systems, but what we want to extend it to is to another very interesting class of systems, which is hybrid and switch systems. So first of all, I'd like to introduce you to the notation so that we are on the same frequency. So I will say that so such systems that have that are hybrid and switch have consists of several subsystems. So and there are discrete and continuous variables that interact. So here is I call x dot is fi of x, right? I is in the, some index set big I. X is the continuous state, I is the discrete state. Fi is a subsystem evolving in xi, which is a subset of Rn. So I break the state space into separate, into different parts, into different parts of the state space where each fi evolves. And the union of all these xi form the whole of the state space, cover the whole of the state space. You have many subsystems that evolve in different parts of the state space, and the discrete variable I decides whether you're now evolving in with fi, and then when something happens that we're going to define later on, then you switch to another system, and whether you are entering another region of the, that means that you're entering another region of the state space, so it changes continuously. So an example of a hybrid system is your gearbox in your car, right? Every time you change gear, you move to another subsystem with new parameters and new, it's a completely new system. You change gear again and you move to another system. So so for a switching system and a hybrid system, I'm going to distinguish between the two, even though and I'll do that just for reasons of, so that we're clear. Now, I will call a switching system a system for which the different regions of the state space do not overlap. So this is the system that George presented, for example, where you had, you didn't have hysteresis, essentially, between the spring. So when the spring was moving from left to right, you were changing subsystem, essentially, when the mass was hitting the right or the left spring. But then there was no hysteresis between the two systems, so you couldn't find yourself asking, "Am I now in this state because I came from another one?" So memory—it's a completely memoryless case. So in a hybrid system, if you find yourself in a certain state, you have to know where you came from in order to see. And we'll see examples, and we'll quantify what we mean by switching systems and hybrid systems as we move on. The assumptions that we have to make again are that all these vector fields that constitute the system, all these subsystems, the descriptions of the subsystems, are polynomial. And that the regions of the state space, the xi, can be captured by certain polynomial inequalities. Okay, we want to put everything in the framework of what we're doing before the break. So the switching surfaces, or the planes, or the in general, any surface, we might have some polynomial description, which defines defines the boundary of the different regions of the state space. So when you're moving along the trajectory, when you hit the switching surface, you switch to the next system. That I'll call a switching surface, which will also be captured by certain equality and inequality constraints. And this will become clear when we do some examples. And the systems themselves will have some polynomial descriptions. Now, let's ask the question of how you would attack the problem of proving stability for this system. So the first thing you can do is find a Lyapunov function. Yes?
Could
of the equilibrium of the system. So the system is assumed to have an equilibrium which starts at the origin, right? So, okay, remember we did that transformation that put the equilibrium at the origin. There are cases where there's no equilibrium, right? Because equilibrium of that of a subsystem that I'm interested in is in the region of another subsystem, right? And that's a separate case. For the time being, for pedagogical reasons and to show how this machinery works, we're going to do Lyapunov functions, and we assume that the equilibrium of all the systems is at the origin. Okay. Any more questions? Okay. So to prove stability of the equilibrium, what one can do is construct a Lyapunov function that is a Lyapunov function for each subsystem, right? So it is positive everywhere in the state space, positive definite everywhere in the state space, and is decrescent for every single subsystem. So if you are in a certain subsystem and you always decrease. It usually doesn't work. I mean, you have to be really lucky to find this global kind of Lyapunov function. It's a Lyapunov function for every subsystem. Imagine if you're given, so it's like you're given a bunch of subsystems, a bunch of systems, like three or four systems, and you ask the question whether there's a single Lyapunov function which is a Lyapunov function for all of them, which is very conservative, right? Usually doesn't work. So the second thing you'll do is, and what we'll be concentrating, is you construct Lyapunov functions that are valid only in certain parts of the state space, in particular in the state space, the part of the state space where the subsystems are defined. So we give for each subsystem its own Lyapunov function, and under the additional condition that certain under the additional assumption, certain conditions are satisfied on the switching surfaces. So you have a Lyapunov function for each subsystem in the state space, but when you move the trajectory, as it moves and crosses from subsystem to subsystem, it has to keep the Lyapunov idea of crossing, the trajectory crosses the level curves. So when it enters the new region, its value has to decrease. It has to and it has to also decrease in the other subsystem. And we'll see how this is done, how these Lyapunov piecewise Lyapunov functions have been constructed. So this idea has been known, and has been such that Lyapunov functions have been constructed for linear systems, but they are constrained to be quadratic. And the reason for that is that when you are quadratic, when a polynomial is quadratic, then everything is clear, crystal clear, in the sense that you can write down the conditions. People have known how to write these conditions for a long time. And for that, in the case where you're quadratic, positivity and sum of squares, there's no gap, so the machinery is the LMI machinery, even for control theory, has been around for a long time. So you know how to do this. But now we want to extend this for nonlinear systems that have nonlinear weird switching surfaces, not just hyperplanes. We want to extend this to construct higher order Lyapunov functions, which are going to be less conservative. We're going to see how this can be done. So we're proposing to construct polynomial instead of quadratic, polynomial Lyapunov functions, polynomial. Polynomial multiple Lyapunov functions, the ones that we glue along the switching surface. So let's start off with a very simple case of a global Lyapunov function, and I'll show you how you can lift the conservatism in certain cases. Yes. Yeah. Well, the quadratic has to be second order, right? Where polynomial, I don't restrict the order. Okay. So and for the polynomial, you need the sum of squares. For the quadratic, you don't. So the quadratic case, everything you do with the quadratic in the linear case, everything translates to LMIs, and as we know it in control theory, and it has been done for a long time. Now, and the reason that it has been clear and uniform was that the the positivity, sum of squares, and the positivity notions are the same, equivalent conditions at the quadratic case. Now, as you go higher order, you lose, there's this gap that we're talking about positivity and sum of squares, but you can still use the same machinery, right? The LMI conditions and so on. So cast the problem as a semi-definite program and so on. So in this case, we're interested for stability under arbitrary switching, which means that we don't know when we'll be switching. We just have a system and we don't define any switching surface. So it's like having a series of systems, right? And you don't know when you'll be switching from one to the other, and you want the equilibrium of that system to be stable. So that in this case, what we'll be looking at is for a Lyapunov function that is valid for a series of systems, right? Because you don't know when we'll be switching. And we said that for this case, finding a common Lyapunov function for all the system is very conservative in general. I mean, you cannot really find it. It's very special cases that you have to. So in the linear cases, it has been quantified. The condition for a series of systems, linear systems, to have a common quadratic Lyapunov function. We know when that happens, and it's very rare. So yes.
Just for the people in here who don't know this area, so a typical situation is if you had a list of systems, all of which were individually stable, which would allow arbitrary switching between them, it will typically be the case that you can find some sequence of switches for which the switch system is unstable. So individual systems being stable doesn't mean that switching from one stable system to another can't cause you to go unstable. So it's typically unlikely that a collection of stable systems that you allow arbitrary switching on would even be stable. So chances of this working are very low, not necessarily because there's a conservativeness in this test for arbitrary switching. Just that arbitrary switching allows you to create instabilities out of systems that are otherwise stable. And so, of course, you're interested usually in systems that have constraints on how they switch. And of course, it's putting those constraints on how things are switched that both allow the systems to be stable, on the one hand, and allow you to prove that they're stable.
So in this case, we'll be looking for a single Lyapunov function V, which is this is the first Lyapunov condition, which satisfies the second Lyapunov condition for every F I in the set I in I. So so here's an example. So you have these two subsystems. So you have two, and now you have two systems, right? And you want to find a common Lyapunov function for these. And a global quadratic Lyapunov function does not exist for this system. So you cannot find a quadratic Lyapunov function that proves that this system under arbitrary switching is stable. However, you can find a higher order Lyapunov function. Here we show that a sixth order one proves that it's a common Lyapunov function for the two systems. So it's a Lyapunov function both for F1 and for F2. And what that means is that here is F1, and if I switch at this point to F2, I'm still guaranteed to decrease along the trajectories because I satisfy the Lyapunov condition. And here I switch again to F1, yeah, and then switch again to F2. So this is what I mean by arbitrary switching. You can switch, you can switch from system to system, and ensure that it's stable. And for this system, a quadratic one does not exist. There exists a higher order one. So in particular for this system, you wouldn't be able to prove with previous tools that this system was stable under arbitrary switch. So now we have to go back and investigate the more interesting case where you know where the switching surfaces are, you know what the state space looks like, and you want to show that the equilibrium is stable. So and to prove stability in this case, we use piecewise polynomial Lyapunov functions. They're Lyapunov functions for every subsystem in this region of the state space where it's defined, where it evolves, but are glued on the switching surfaces so that every time you switch from a system to another one, you have the decrescent condition. The decrescent condition is satisfied. So what I am And this is what I'm saying here. The afternoon function vi and its time derivative along the trajectory of the ith mode is positive and negative respectively only within the xi. So it's a Lyapunov function only within the region of the state space where fi is defined. And then we have some continuity condition on the boundary. So the way you join this condition that v has to be positive only this region and dvdt has to be negative only in this region, right, is by adjoining the constraint that defines that region to the Lyapunov function. So if the gik define a region, the gik positive, right, define a region of the state space, then writing this condition as such guarantees, right, is not necessary, it's sufficient, guarantees that vi is positive when gik is positive, when I use aik's multipliers that are sum of squares. And the way you see it is the way that you always, it's one-line proof, the easy proof is the one-line proof. Since the gik's are non-negative, right, this implies that the vi's are positive on xi's. Because if they weren't positive on xi's, right, then this condition would not be satisfied. You have a negative here and a negative here asking that to be positive. Okay, so adjoining these constraints on the conditions, you can test for positivity in these regions. Yes.
So you're still assuming that you have a single Lyapunov function across all the different discrete substates?
No, I assume I'm constructing Lyapunov functions for different parts of the state space. Okay.
So define the switching surface if you're going to like. And I sort of imagine, say, you have a discrete index I and that labels several different potentials, something like that, right?
Yeah.
And, you might have some switching surface that says that when you get outside, you're going to be conflicted with this other one, but then you can come back in.
Yeah, I'm always asking for it to be decrescent on the boundary. When you hit the boundary and you enter the other region, you always enter it with a lower level. Yeah, I'm just interested in decrescent condition. So the continuity is required when you don't know where you're moving from and where you're going. So if I don't know where I'm moving from system 1 to system 2, then you need continuity because you might be moving from system 2 to system 1, right? When you know what in the switching system, you don't know when that's happening. So in the switching system, you don't know whether you'll be moving from system 1, subsystem 1, to subsystem 2. Or from subsystem 2 to subsystem 1. In that case, you need continuity on the boundary. Whereas in hybrid system, you know that you're moving from system 1 to system 2 because that's the law that you're evolving, right? So because there's memory and so on, you know where you're coming from, right? So that there you need the decrescent condition is enough. Yeah, but then that depends on the description of the system. Yeah.
Did you assume a finite number of cells?
Yeah. So we assume that there's a finite number of regions of the state space, but they have to cover the whole state space.
And you're delivering the origin?
Yes.
If they don't mean the boundary of the cells, or could it
be completely contained
in one?
If it's completely contained in one, then you're done, right?
Yeah.
If you can prove that you enter that particular subsystem, then you stay in it and you're done. The problem is whether you... So if you show that you enter that subsystem and that subsystem is stable, if you enter it once, that's it, right? Because you always go to the origin. The equilibrium is strictly contained inside. You just see that? Okay. So here's how do you do that for a switching system. So as we said, for a switching system, you don't know where you come, which the direction that you're moving. So there you need to just impose continuity on the boundary. And the way you do, this is a description of the boundary, and you impose continuity by adjoining the continuity. So this condition says Vi equals to Vj on Hij0 of x is 0, right? So you join it using a multiply. And this is another condition that appears here. And these are the conditions, this is the Lyapunov condition only in the region where GIK is positive. And this is the decrescent condition only in the region where GIK is positive. So this, and the Lyapunov function is given by V. The V is the VI of X, where I is in I, where X in X is in XI, right? So it's a gluing of all the VIs on the boundaries, right? And they're guaranteed to be, so these guarantees that they're continuous on the boundary. Okay, so so H is the switching surface. So it could be a hyperplane, right? It could be a surface, but it's described in a polynomial, by a polynomial. So we'll see an example of how this is done. Actually, let me skip this example and I'll come back to it. And so, yeah. So yeah, you join the constraints that you have. See, this constraint constrains these conditions. So you join it. Right. So let's have a look at this example. So it has two subsystems, right? Subsystem one, subsystem two. And this is a hybrid system. So the hybrid system, you know where you're coming from. And here's how this works. So you know that at zero time, your index is one. So you are evolving with this subsystem. Okay. Now when you hit x2 of t zero, so that's the x1 axis, right? And x1 is positive, so that's the positive x1 axis. So when you hit positive x1 axis, switch to system two. So we switch and evolve with this subsystem. Now, when you hit this surface, right, switch to system one. This is the law that defines the hybrid system. And as you evolve, the equilibrium of these two systems is at the origin, right? And as you evolve, show that the equilibrium of the origin is stable. And what you do is you construct these functions. So so I'm starting from the first subsystem, but I don't know where I'm starting. Okay, so I have to find a Lyapunov function everywhere in the state space. Like I might be starting here, right? So I need to make sure that I always decrease wherever I'm going. So this is the vector field of the first subsystem and the level curves. Now the second subsystem, right? So you start from here, say you hit the positive x1 axis, you change subsystem, right? And then you move again, and then you switch here to this region that defines the other system, and so on. Now you also have to make sure that there's you have to find a Lyapunov function for the other system, for the system in here, to make sure that you're stable, right? Yeah, and that's the condition. But that's the region that where the second subsystem might evolve is defined by these switching surface, right? In this case, the vector field goes like that. I mean, if it could come back, then you would be switching on this thing, right? Now. So you need to find a Lyapunov function in this region, right? But it only has to be positive there, and it only has to satisfy the decrescent condition there. I mean, it doesn't have to satisfy the decrescent condition outside the region, because you cannot evolve in that region with that subsystem. So these are the level curves of a Lyapunov function inside this region. You see that this Lyapunov function is not global Lyapunov function as you imagine, like a cup-like Lyapunov function, right? Probably this region is like a subtle point for this, but it so happens, and we have constrained it to be that that in this region this is a Lyapunov function. So in this region, this is always positive. Level curves go up, and as you move along the system, you always decrease. So putting these two things together, and knowing that the value of this is always bigger than the value of the next one every time you switch, you know that you're stable. Okay. So this is the idea. It is based on first of all describing the system as a polynomial vector field, and then adjoining the constraints using the multipliers. The constraints also are polynomials, and you write down the corresponding conditions, and you get the result. It's completely algorithmic. You cannot do that by hand. It is not possible. So I said that there are other ways to prove stability. There was a quadratic methodology to construct quadratically Lyapunov functions in the past, and I said that that was conservative. The reason for that is you're constrained by the order of the Lyapunov function that it has to be quadratic. If it's higher order, then you could imagine that you'll get better results. So suppose now you're given a system that is even linear, right? But then you cannot find a quadratic Lyapunov function that is piecewise continuous. So you have your switching system, you know it switches on, say, one of the axes, but you cannot find a quadratic Lyapunov function. What people were doing, they were refining the state space even more, defining more switching kind of surfaces, and defining Lyapunov functions in wedges or regions of the state space, and they were gluing them along these artificial switching surfaces to define a Lyapunov function for the whole thing. Now, this is not easy because you don't know how to refine the state space in to start off with. With these tools, you can go higher order in the Lyapunov function, and not, the need to refine the state space is not, you don't have to do it. So this is an example where you have a linear system in four dimensions. How would you ever refine the state space in four dimensions to prove stability of this system? So if you go higher order, you can find a Lyapunov function that proves stability of this system. The other important thing with these inequalities and equalities is that you can now do robustness analysis. So suppose the system has parameters, has parametric uncertainty in it, or even the switching surface has a parameter in it. So as the parameter moves, the switching surface might be moving around. And I'll show you an example of how this is done. The procedure that you follow is the same as before. You have to describe the parameter space by certain inequalities and equalities. The same way that you define regions, the same way that you define other constraints that you might have in the system. And the way you proceed is you adjoin them to the Lyapunov conditions to try to find a certificate that proves that the equilibrium is stable. So here is an example of how you can do this for this system. So this is it has two subsystems. It's a hybrid system. You start off with the first subsystem, and then you switch when you hit these. This is a line. You're now doing in on you're not we're now on the plane, and we can do these in higher dimensions, but doing them on the plane is good because you can show pictures. So here when you hit this line, then you switch from the second subsystem to the first one. So I should be doing the first one first. So you start off with one, and when you hit this surface, then you switch to the second. Here's the parameter. So this has a parameter in. I don't know where the switching surface is. I know that when I hit it, I just change to the second one, right? And when I hit these, I change the first one again. Now, being a linear system, having a linear description here for the vector field, that means you can solve the evolution of the system. And this allows you to analytically find when the system goes unstable as the parameter p changes. So here's the picture. Here's the picture. How is it? When p is large, right? Then you see that if I start from the first subsystem and I hit the switching surface that is the one that is moving, that has the parameter in. When I hit it, right, then the next time I will be moving, I'll be moving it towards the origin, right? And and a successive switching will take me to the origin. Now, as you decrease p, so as the slope becomes shallower, so here, for example, then you get into a limit cycle. So you get there and then you switch, and then this map is a limit cycle. And finding the point where you get this limit cycle is no big deal, because you know that the system is linear, so you can solve it and see. You know the parameter for which this happens. And then when these becomes even smaller, so the slope becomes even shallower, then the system goes unstable, right? Now, and what I want to know is, when does the system become unstable? So the two kind of questions that you can ask, and we'll ask them both. Given a point in the parameter space, can you prove that this is stable? Right. That's the first question you can ask. And the second question is, for all p that is greater than or equal to c, can you prove that this system is stable? And these questions are the second one is the one that we're interested in. So. This is a condition, this is a constraint on the parameter set. So I'm going to use this as an inequality to adjoin it to the Lyapunov function. And I'm going to use this shape of a Lyapunov function, is v plus p times another v. So so for this shape of the Lyapunov function, I will show you how increasing the order of this polynomial and this polynomial approaches the value that you go in a limit cycle, which is about 2.16 or something. I think, yeah, 2.164. So for this value, p is 2.164, you go in a limit cycle. And this is what happens. For a second order Lyapunov function v, I, k, so for a second order, for these being second order, you can prove stability up to c equals to 5.86. So you remember that value was 2.164. So it's quite far away from that, right? So for a quadratic Lyapunov function, you can only prove it that for 5.86. If you increase the order and go fourth order, you can prove it for 2.50. So you know that for that slope greater than 2.50, then the equilibrium is stable. Okay. Now you can continue increasing the order, but then you do get closer to the true value, 2.16. But here's what happens. If you want to prove stability for a parameter that is close to the one that is critical, then you need a high order certificate. If the point being that if your switching surface has that parameter close to 2.18, that means that small perturbations around these 2.18 might take you to a condition that you will be unstable. So that system is fragile. A small perturbation, so if I put 2.18 and assume that that's the nominal value and I want perturbations around it, then this will be fragile in the sense that if this 2.18 becomes 2.15, then I'll go unstable. And to prove the 2.18, I need an eighth order certificate on V, right? So this is going to be a ninth order polynomial. Okay. Yes.
What is the complexity of the algorithm? It depends on the system itself, or
it depends on many factors. It depends on the order of the system. It depends on the order of the polynomial of the vector field in the system. It depends on the. Yes, it depends on the system. I mean, the complexity here that you see that I need an eighth order certificate depends on the system. The fact that I need an eighth order certificate is there is the complexity. Yeah?
What is the sequence of probabilistic?
It's probabilistic in the sense that it's stochastic.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, if you know the stochastics of the system, then you can cast Lyapunov conditions, right? There are Lyapunov conditions for. Okay, so if your system is stochastic, then you know the stochastics of the system, then you can cast that. There are Lyapunov conditions for that, right? If you know the statistics of the stochastics. Okay. Yes. Well, if you're doing stochastics, then the Lyapunov conditions change, right? This is another problem, right? But then you have to describe what the statistics are.
Then they become models. Then you have to
ask
about the evolution of moments. Yes. So you can compute evolution of moments using the same thing. We're not going to talk about that today. Because we're going to talk about just simulation of stochastics in the afternoon. So one of the things we aren't talking about is how to prove things like that. But then you have to think about moments.
Is there any intrinsic difficulty if the switching surface doesn't actually partition the phase space? Say I'm working in a three-dimensional phase space, and my switching surface is actually a finite disk. So then you have some kind of ambiguity about where you're going to patch Lyapunov things together.
So you're looking at lower dimensional, much lower dimensional.
Yeah, or like on the plane, right? I mean, you have these sort of switching surfaces that intersect and actually divide up the plane into well-defined sectors.
Yeah.
Like imagine that I have switching surfaces that are only half lines, and you know maybe I have like switching surfaces like this.
If you can describe them, then you'd have to write down the corresponding Lyapunov conditions. You have to describe you'd want
sort of extend them to then decide the
thing. Probably that there you'd need some.
Actually, you could imagine a situation where you hit a line cycle.
Yeah.
Right? That would just be a condition. There's a little condition there. You just write it out as an equality. That would then be hybrid, not switching, because you have to join how you were going through that little line segment. How you were switching. So it would be a hybrid system. It would not be switching. It's just a hybrid system. That's
so it's a hybrid system. But then, if I want to try to play this game of
it's not a switching system anymore.
Hybrid system. So okay, I got
it. It's hybrid. System. You have to have the augmented. You augment with the hybrid dynamic.
Yeah, but then, I mean, isn't there now some ambiguity of, I mean, say you want to play this game of carving up the phase space and cutting it up?
We don't carve up, the hybrid case, you don't quite carve off, right?
You have something which is valid for all values of the
event. Yeah, in hybrid, the state space isn't Rn anymore. It's the state space plus the discrete system.
Right, well, I mean, you've got, like, two phase spaces or whatever.
Yeah, but you have to think about having the extra hybrid system. The fact that this thing goes off to infinity is the critical point.
Yeah.
The critical point is that you have to actually think about the dynamics of the whole hybrid system. And so it wouldn't really matter whether or not there's a compact domain in which you talk about. Notice in this system, right? Sometimes you're in the same region, and sometimes you're going on one system and sometimes on the other, right? So it's called ambiguity. The ambiguity is not as when you're there, you don't know which you should be on. But there's a well-defined hybrid system that tells you which one you should be, and you prove it for that.
Yeah, I'm just wondering that when you go and try to make your Lyapunov function, which is, you know, you're going to patch it, there are these surfaces where you have to stitch the Lyapunov function together. Right? I mean, if your switching surface for the hybrid system is a compact thing, it's ambiguous how you continue that out to form the surface on which you're stitching your Lyapunov function.
You don't stitch here, right? This case.
Here you don't switch, you don't stitch. You just need decrescent. You just need that every time I hit these and I switch, I always enter the Lyapunov level curve of the other system at a lower level. Right.
Yeah, looking at the complexity of the algorithm, then it can be exponential or polynomial. Do you have any guarantees in the algorithm
at all? So, think of this as like just two systems separately. You just drop from one to the other. Yeah. And so the idea is that, in this case, layoffinal functions don't have to be stitched together, right?
But then
so this is confusing, because hybrid systems and switching systems really have this different character, right? Mm-hmm. Switching system, you really have a boundary at which you cross, and then you have to stitch the outlook. You just have these two switches, you're just switching back and forth. You're evolving up here, and you're evolving down here, and you just have a little problem.
Okay, so these are really sort of global layoffinal functions that you use.
But global in the sense that they have to cover where this thing is balanced.
Yep. Yeah?
No matter of D, there is a concept.
Yes. Yes, it's because it's a linear system, you can solve the equations, get the evolution, and see when the map just takes you to infinity.
So this special case,
we
can craft a solution in this case analytically.
Yeah, that's why we chose this system.
But in this particular case, to test the algorithm, you can handcraft the solution another way.
Okay.
Generally, you would have to then. Of course, the other thing is you could try to then, you can prove using Lyapunov messages to be unstable as well. So, again, we're not talking about that. That's something that isn't important. In principle, you could carve up the space and nail exactly where that bifurcation occurred. Okay. Without using this machinery. In this case, you can actually do it analytically. But the analytic method obviously isn't extendable to general cases, but just here you can do it.
Okay, so the message here is that as the fragility implies the complexity of the Lyapunov function, we see that the fragility that's inherent when you come close to these value, then you get a complexity in the certificate that you require to solve. And these are the level curves of the Lyapunov function, and you see here how the unstable system, that is the second system, that is going out. Every time in this sector where it leaves, it always crosses these level curves, even though it's spiraling out. And this is a concept of a Lyapunov function is only valid in that wedge. It's not valid anywhere else. Okay, so there's this biologically motivated example, a simple generic regulatory circuit. So the product of the first gene is a positive sensational activator of the second gene, right? But then the product of the second gene, it suppresses is a suppressor of the first gene. And if the activation of X2 by X1 is cooperative, and then you can assume the Hill coefficient is high, and then you can write down a hybrid system for it. This is an example that Stephen is going to use later on. So if this is a standard system, you have these parameter U in it. When U is from 0.5 to 1, then the equilibrium of one subsystem is in the other subsystem. So there's no equilibrium for the system, and you just get chattering on the switching surface. When U is greater than 1, then there is an equilibrium defined in one of the regions. So this is a simulation, and the way you proceed you to prove stability of the, in the case where U is from 1 to 3, say, is you construct a Lyapunov function that is parametrized by this parameter. And it's the same story as before. You're joining the conditions, you define the state space. The state space is this region and this region. And then you construct these Lyapunov functions for different values of U. So this is U 1.5, and this is U close to 3. U is a parameter in the system. Which parameter? Exogenous signal,
yeah.
Constant. Yeah. Okay, so this is what I had to present today, and I'll hand it to Stephen. We've seen how you can construct these Lyapunov functions. I went through some examples for robust stability of non-polynomial vector fields and hybrid systems, and robust stability for hybrid systems. Okay, Stephen. Do you have any questions about the switch? Yes.
Understanding of the switching columns where maybe in one
Unless you don't get back to that cell, and fine, if you go back there.
Yeah, there's only these.
You can go back to it and still go back to the one of the ones.
Yeah. No, but you need, I mean, you can't leave. Then you don't have enough to go. You don't have enough function.
You have to
yeah. So this is problems of reachability and stuff. Yeah.